Dear friends, in The Lord of the Rings, there is a scene when the hobbit Frodo fearfully complains to Gandalf about the world he has found himself in. "I wish it wasn't the way it is," he says. Gandalf smiles, lights his long pipe, and replies, "My dear chap, none of us choose the circumstances of our lives. We can only choose how we are in those circumstances." In these exceptional circumstances that we are living through now, there is an opportunity for us to consider carefully the way we are, the way we live, the way we treat others and the world, this precious world God has gifted to us. We have a precious moment now to see the truth and to choose to live differently. The story of Jesus at the house of Simon the Pharisee asks us to consider the way that we are. Are we honest about how we stand before God and each other? Are we honest about ourselves, knowing too that we are held in the hands of grace? Or are we still blinded by our sinfulness and blaming the circumstances around us? Our passage is filled with gospel truth and meaning. Dear friends, know the truth and it will set you free. Three characters dominate the story: Simon, the Pharisee, Jesus, and the unnamed woman. In some translations, she is known as a woman of the city, described as a sinner, which almost certainly means that she was a prostitute. People have often supposed that this is the same story as the one we find in Mark 14 and the similar passages in Matthew 26 and John 12, but it probably isn't. This story has its own meaning and its own importance. Jesus stands, or should I say, reclines, once again in the middle of the story. People used to recline on low couches at mealtimes, leaning on the left arm with their head facing towards the table. On one side of him, we witness the outrageous adoration of this woman. On the other side is the equally scandalous rudeness of his host, Simon. Jesus, too, will move and speak into a place that the onlookers will find outrageous. He will isolate himself in his wisdom and in his goodness. The host, Simon, is a Pharisee, who we have to assume was not completely opposed to Jesus, at least not at the beginning of the story. There were several positions held within the Pharisaic movement. The majority were what we might call hardliners, right-wingers, ultra-conservative thinkers, adherers to the law as they interpreted it. But a few, Simon amongst them perhaps, may have been prepared to give Jesus a fair hearing. Simon had probably heard rumours that Jesus was a great prophet and that he was performing miracles. He was keen to see and hear for himself, to check the veracity of this claim. Of course, as the story develops, we discover that Simon himself thinks he has found the answer. Jesus clearly cannot be a prophet because he hasn't realized what sort of sin-filled woman this is. No good rabbi would sit next to, let alone allow, an unclean woman to touch him. Holiness is purity. Holiness is moral judgment. Friends, it is for us to realize and to recognize that Simon is completely wrong. Jesus absolutely knows who this woman is. He sees her. He knows what she has been. He knows what she is now. And he also knows what Simon is thinking. You may have noticed that Luke emphasizes three times in the first two sentences that Simon is a Pharisee and that it is to his house that both Jesus and this woman have come. We are to understand who the host is and what his responsibilities are, but more on that in a moment. This woman is an uninvited guest. But at the time of Jesus, people would often come into houses to listen and to watch. Doors were often open, allowing beggars, friends, or simply curious passers-by to walk in. And so it is with this sinner. She enters into the scene uninvited and unwanted. But it seems that she has come with a purpose, and this gives her courage. She has come to see Jesus, yes, but also to anoint him. Now, because of the way Jesus was lying, the woman was able to approach his feet from behind. She took the perfume, probably from around her neck, and was ready to anoint him. But in that moment, she sees very clearly the truth. The truth about herself, the truth about Jesus, and she is free. She is overwhelmed and begins to weep. So many tears of pain, of sorrow, and now of joy. Her tears fall onto the feet of Jesus, the very feet of God. As her tears fall, his feet become wet. And so she lets down her hair, something no decent woman would ever do in public. It seems as if she was oblivious to public opinion in the grip of her deep emotion and devotion. And she wipes his dirty and tired feet dry. She kisses her Lord's feet. And then she did what she had come to do and anointed his feet with oil. Now we can only imagine that the onlookers would have been horrified. Because of her audacity, because she was breaking all the rules, but also because perfume itself was expensive and it was normally poured on the head. The use of it on his feet is a sign of absolute humility. She knows who she is before Jesus. She knows what she is here for. It would be fair to make a guess at this point that Jesus perhaps had already turned this woman from her broken and hurtful life. And all that we witnessed is an outpouring of her love and gratitude. She may have met him face to face. She may simply have been among the crowds. She may have seen and heard. She may have been so convicted by his words that her life had been turned upside down. We really don't know, but we see. We see what effect Jesus has had on her. She kisses her Lord's feet. This woman would never have chosen the circumstances of her life, but she had met Jesus. She knew the truth about herself and God's forgiveness. You have to know both. And now she had chosen how she would be in her circumstances. Luke wants us to understand something deeply important. This is what happens when God's love comes into the world. This is what it looks like. This is what happens when the truth, the gospel, impacts on a human heart. When someone turns around and believes. Luke has already described in his gospel how Jesus, first in Nazareth and then in the great Sermon on the Plain, has stood the world on its head. How all the expectation of what God's kingdom might look like need to be redrawn and rethought. When the kingdom comes, it will be a time of incredible generosity, of abundant love and grace, of overwhelming goodness and mercy, as well as a time of fierce opposition, which would in the end meet God's judgment. Now we see in this single story what this looks like in practice, in the nitty-gritty flesh and blood of real life, in the life of a convicted sinner and a self-righteous Pharisee. What it looks like when we truly pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." There are tears, there is joy. Social conventions and rules are thrown out of the window. It is forgiveness and love that pour into the world. These are the new standards against which all things will be measured. Now people no longer appear as society has constructed them, but as God sees them. The gospel is God's great reversal, and we see it here in this story very clearly. As the woman appears where she should not be, as she does what the world says she should not do because of love, and as Jesus does what he should not do, he offers her only love and forgiveness. He offers her peace. Jesus does not gloss over our sins, but no matter how many and how great they are, God's grace is sufficient. We just have to see them, admit them, know them, and tell the truth. Jesus is not saying that the woman's actions have earned her forgiveness, no. He is saying that her love is proof that she has already been forgiven. He is saying that her love is proof that she has already been forgiven. The story of the two debtors explains this. She had so much to be forgiven, and she knows it. She knows deep within her soul her need. She knows the depth of God's love, and so she loves. Luke wrote to a church that was trying itself to come to terms with this astonishing reversal. Many Jews had rejected the message about Jesus, but many outsiders and Gentiles were accepting it and coming into the church, just like the woman in this story. They were coming into a world into which they had once been forbidden to come, and they too were overwhelmed and delighted like this woman, to know that their sins were forgiven by God, the God of grace and abundant forgiveness. Jesus does what he always does, and what he is doing here amongst us in these times. He tells the truth. He finds a third way, an unexpected way. He stands in the middle. And in doing so, he turns power on its head. Jesus sees the truth in our hearts, and he turns the tables on the power in the room. The great reversal. We see this throughout this story. And it's in that great reversal is the power of the world represented by Simon that is guilty. Guilty of poor hospitality on one hand, but more importantly, guilty of judgment. In Simon's culture, the shame of poor hospitality was almost as big a social failure as the woman letting down her hair. Simon had shown very little love. And the implication is that he had not been forgiven very much. And Jesus points this out very clearly. The Pharisee had not come to terms with the depths of his own heart. His circumstances suited him. He saw no need to change, no need to turn around, no need to repent. He was blind. He had not seen, as we must, our brokenness and our need of forgiveness. And so Simon cannot appreciate the truth and depth of God's generous love, even when the truth, that love, reclines right in front of him at his own table. Friends, true faith is what happens when someone looks at Jesus, sees themselves as they truly are, then turns around, then has a change of heart and mind, and discovers deep inside of themselves God's forgiveness, the very kingdom of God. Friends, let us not be downhearted by our circumstances, but let us choose to live in these times in the light of God's love. The sign and proof of true faith is love. It is tears of inexplicable joy. It is peace that surpasses all understanding. May the Lord be with you and bless you always. Amen.